Welcome to the Childcare Business Coach Podcast with Evelyn Knight, where mindset mechanics come together for success. Evelyn Knight is the leader of the ECE revolution and is on a mission to touch 1 million children's lives through the elevation of the ECE community.
Hello and welcome to the Childcare Business Coach Podcast. My name is Evelyn Knight. I am the CEO and founder of Childcare Business Professionals. I'm a two-time TED Talk speaker and a childcare center owner. So today I am going to do something a little bit different that I haven't done before. I'm actually going to be playing you my first TED Talk that I did. It was actually a virtual TED Talk when COVID was still not allowing too much. I mean, we were still live, but not too much was live. So the first one I did was virtual, and it really empowers the early childhood education community. And my goal at the time, and still is, just different, but for TED, for this speech, was to really help the world to see how important early childhood education is and the power of a childcare program. For those of you who follow me regularly, you know I say daycare is not something I allow people to identify my childcare center with. We've worked really hard to make sure that we don't have a daycare. There are many people out there who do, and that is okay. If you choose to have a daycare, that's fine. That is your prerogative. And for parents who choose to put their children in daycare, that's fine as well. It's really everybody's individual choice, and I don't want to take that from everybody. But my program is more than that. We're a preschool that provides childcare. So it's very important for us to make that distinction. And in this TED Talk, I'm going to explain a little bit about that. It's funny because there was some talk back and forth with the hosts, and I did explain to them that we are not a daycare. So that does come up in the presentation. So those of you out there who are fighting hard for really research-based, high-quality programs, you know exactly what I mean. You know exactly what I mean. We work hard to have very high quality. So I am not going to take up too much more of your time. I'm just going to let the video take over and go from there.
Evelyn Knight is a childcare business coach, and she's also the owner of Zoo, Zooing Around, and with a degree in early childhood education. So she will talk about childhood education that can be one of these key tools to climate resilience. So that's why I see really, it's a really simple connection. It was an easy job to put the connection. It's a pleasure to have you with us today, Evelyn, and I'm looking forward to hear from you. So great. I'll let the microphone to you right away. So thanks.
Thank you. So it really comes down to the foundation. Everything we've heard today, we've heard a lot of keywords like resilience and mental strength and just that creative thinking. And all of that comes down to building a strong foundation in a person's lifespan. 90% of the brain is formed in the first 5 years of life. All of these executive brain functions that we've heard about today are actually formed before the age of five. But we're really not paying enough attention to this. And we're not intentionally helping children to grow in these areas, which really is the solution. And is it a future solution? Absolutely. But when we really focus on these different foundational pieces, we can literally change so many aspects of the world around us, helping children to be more critical thinkers and better problem solvers. We're really setting up the foundation for future mental health. So as Jules was saying, it's so important, this mental health and having people that are able to be resilient. And those traits and our ability as humans is actually formed before the age of five. Your ability to bounce back, to cope, all of that, your inhibition, self-awareness, all of that was formed inside of you before the age of five. So I am a childcare business coach. I own a company called Childcare Business Professionals. And as a childcare center owner, I decided to start this company because it became my mission to touch 1 million children's lives. And I saw this huge need worldwide of just focusing on what is best for the children. I also have a degree in psychology, and I've studied a lot of the neurological foundations of the brain. And I came to realize that we're really not helping children learn these important foundational pieces, the social, emotional, and development that actually lends us to become strong adults with really good and strong executive brain functioning. So I started this company to educate other childcare center owners and really to help the early child education community see and understand why it is so important for us to start focusing on social emotional competencies and the executive brain functions instead of a lot of the things that we are focusing on in early childhood education. And that is the key really to sustainability. Once we have, and even as Jules, you were talking about the workforce, I'm an employer. I employ a lot of people and the workforce is hard to deal with. But a lot of that is because these functions of the brain that are so vital to be a successful, critical thinking employee, to be self-regulated, all of that is formed before the age of 5. And we are not intentionally helping children to form these areas of their brain. So I want to paint a picture for you of what we see as the average child's day. I work with a lot of different childcare centers, both public and private programs that are similar to like Head Start. And it's pretty typical that we see the same thing. And I do have an international customer base. So I work with people all over the world and I see the pretty much the same patterns, no matter where I work. And what I see is a typical child is waking up pretty early in the morning. They're rushing to get ready. Their parents are rushing to get them ready, drop them off at care, whether it's with their nanny, childcare, a babysitter. And then the parent is going off to work while the child sits in wherever they are. They are in a facility all day, or they're just being cared for all day. That busy parent comes home. They rush them to the next sporting event, whether it's soccer, softball, cheer, whatever it could be. And then they're rushing them to get dinner. Then they're rushing them to take a bath, go to bed, and it starts the next day over and over. And this is day in and day out. So a lot of people ask me often, well, what about the parents' days off? Well, parents are busy. This is their day as well. They're getting up before their children. They're rushing through their day as well. They're going to bed late. They're exhausted. And during this time, all of the normal household chores and obligations are not being accomplished. So now parents are spending the days that they're not working, accomplishing and catching up on other family and all of the other things. So children, again, are being dragged around, going grocery shopping, doing chores. But what I came to realize is that at no time at this point are children just allowed to play. And Dr. Peter Gray and many other experts have done a lot of studies that show that the executive brain functions actually form through experience. And play are the experiences that form the executive brain functions. So if we're eliminating play from a child's day, when are they actually forming these executive brain functions? So, and parents are very well-meaning. So are schools and so are teachers. They want to make sure children have all this information and they want to make sure they're having all these experiences. So they're packing their schedule with music lessons and all these different things. And they're completely unaware that they have just eliminated the most important part of a child's development. They are completely unaware that they're no longer giving children time to form the executive brain functions that they need to become critical thinkers, to become resilient, to be able to problem solve, plan, to have self-regulation, all these things that we need adults to have in order
to be able to think of ways to be sustainable, even in order to just to be open-minded. In our society, we see so many closed-minded people, and that is really a result of where they were forming their brain that first 5 years of life. So it's so important that we just really facilitate opportunities to allow children to play. And I know it's scary for a lot of caregivers and educators and parents to hear, like, I just can't let my child play all day. But really, when you learn the art of incorporating intentional play and facilitating learning through play, it is amazing what happens. I created a preschool model where this is exactly what I do. And the results are absolutely amazing for the children themselves, for how they actually become productive, and they actually are more successful when they become school age. And basically what we do is we just pre-plan and construct play activities where we're incorporating what we would like them to learn into play, but we're really intentional about making sure those executive brain functions are a part of what we're doing. Now, things like organized sports, they are very important because that helps with teamwork. It helps learn different functions as well. But if you want to really talk about that critical thinking, self-awareness, problem solving, there has to be no parameters. Children have to be allowed to just think, just problem solve. The other thing that does for us is it allows us to create a society of people who are able to just think without any kind of structure, without any kind of direction, find out of the box solutions. And that is what is so important to our society right now. I have a child at my child care center, and I'll just call him Marty. And this is what really struck me and when I realized that this is an epidemic and we need to do something for children. I had arrived at my center, and this was years ago before I completely changed my structure. I too once ran a program that was very academic based. I was so concerned about all of the things like teaching them how to read by the age of three. And I had a moment where I realized that we've gotten this all wrong. And that is why we're in the position we're in today. And this child was getting off of one of my school buses, and it had actually been a snow day, and it was a late snow day for us. It was probably, I think it was around April-ish, but it had been a couple months. And this child was so excited when he saw me, and he came over to me and said, Miss Evelyn, I'm so excited. We had a 2-hour delay today. And I just said, oh, that's pretty cool, buddy. And he said to me, I finally got to open the Legos that I got for Christmas. And I was shocked. I just was like, it's 4 months later. You just opened your Christmas present now? And he said to me, yes, I never have time to play. And I just finally got to open my present. As I was talking to him, several of the other children actually chimed in and agreed. They're like, yeah, me too. And that was when I realized that we've literally stolen childhood from children. When children have to go 4 months before they actually get to open the box of what their Christmas present was, there's a problem. And when you pair that with the fact that executive brain functions are actually formed through play, that's an even bigger problem. We're not allowing the executive brain functions to form any longer, which is why we're facing a world that doesn't have the critical thinking skills, doesn't have the resilience, and doesn't care to a certain extent about what is happening and around sustainability and all the things we need them to care about. So our permanent solution does lie in early childhood education. When we really have that strong foundational piece and we help these children to be aware and grow up with these critical thinking skills and the resilience to make things happen, that is really where we're going to find the solution to so many of the world's problems. So thank you.
Thanks very much. Great examples, that example, especially the one with Marty, that shows directly that people are unaware of some consequences of what they're... Anyway, I have a question. You were talking about intentional play, and you gave us an example of what we should not do. So letting our children open their Lego box 4 months after Christmas because of this kind of schedule, which looks like an executive schedule rather than a. But what would be an example of intentional play that someone can do at home without being in a structured environment? And what do you suggest? Just an example.
So a good example of intentional play is really just bring materials and supplies in that you want. So the first thing I do when I'm training on how to construct intentional play is I ask a parent or a teacher, what is your intention? What lesson do you want the child to learn out of this? So we kind of reverse engineer what we're trying to accomplish. So if it is more like just awareness, right? Let's say we're talking about awareness of the ocean. Then what I would suggest is, okay, let's get different materials and supplies and create a micro ocean environment. And it doesn't have to be as complicated as it sounds. You can literally get a pot out of your kitchen, get some water, get some little plastic fish, put it in the pot, and give the children different materials. You can even put like, just get some dirt from outside, stick it in there, mix it up. Ask the children things like, look at the water isn't clear. Why do you think that is? What do you think we can do about it? So intentionally setting up the environment to lead it the way you want to go, but not problem solving for them, not giving them directions, letting them freely think their way through. The best suggestion I have is to be curious. Remain curious with the children and always ask questions instead of giving them the answers. And a lot of times you're going to hear, I don't know. So one of my favorite questions to ask them is, well, if you did know, what would the answer be? And that just gets them thinking more and more and more. And just keep asking them, well, why? Why? I mean, if anybody who's had a four-year-old knows their favorite question is why. Mimic that four-year-old and just keep asking them why. And it is amazing how you'll just see their brain just open and they will come up with the most amazing ideas and solutions.
Great. And insightful, by the way, Evelyn, you made me realize that a four-year-old is able to understand how to build its own decision-making yes. process by the first question, which is important. Why?
Yes.
Greatly. I like your example really much. It's easy. Definitely, it's to not to fix the conditions too much. Just let a lot of yes. room for the young children.
For exploration.
Exact. Try, miss, fail, succeed, whatever. So, but that's, I really like the approach. And you know, by the way, there was a study by board, kind of big survey on boards of 160 companies around the world. And they were saying that those who are getting faster towards bold action towards yes. climate change, where not only the diverse in terms of gender and race, but also those who have a younger age. So the younger people are able to take bold and suggest and push bold action a lot in their organization. So these persons that have done that might have trained correctly there.
Yeah,
they're skilled, and we need to push that a lot. So my other question, and if others want to ask questions on this date, to just let me know or to ask them. The other question is towards climate action itself. Do you see things that should be done specifically to help the 4 or 5 years old understand what is the challenge and what they can? Is it the time at this age to talk about that? Is it
Absolutely.
Not? And if it is it, how can it be done? So that's my second question.
There are so many different experiments you can do at home with your children at any mm-hmm. age. And you can, one of the things we do is we'll take different plants and we'll water them with different liquids. And literally you can take something like a liquid that is contaminated. And every day you get your child involved, just water that plant every single day and compare the growth so the children can see. Children are capable of understanding so much more. So if you're getting that pure, clean stream water versus contaminated water, and even something like a soda, right? Something like a Coca-Cola, water the plants with these different things and help the children see the difference in how they grow. And as you're doing this, explain and talk to them. let them know, get them out in nature, let them see what's out there and help them with their awareness and just talking to them. But there's so much that you can do to really just help them understand and see the impact of what our actions are actually doing. And when they see this and really understand it, they will grow to care more and they will grow to want to find solutions.
Absolutely. Greatly said. That's the way towards solutions. And that's thanks for your insight.
So hopefully that was helpful for somebody out there. And right now I'm actually launching a course on helping people find their voice. It's called The True Value of Your Voice. And this is the kind of thing that I'm really hoping more people step up to do. Get out there and talk. Get out there and talk about early childhood education and how important the work we are doing is for our society. There are so many avenues and there are so many of us who need to get out there more so we can educate the general public. So if that is something you're interested in, if you would like to get more information about how you can start getting paid to speak and how you can get your voice heard, please let us know in the comments and we will get the information to you. The course I'm teaching is called The Value of Your Voice and it's launching November 1st. We would love to have you there. It is probably something I'm going to be doing often. So if you're listening to the podcast or watching a recording of this video and it's past November 1st, 2023, do not worry. Go to my website, childcarebusinessprofessionals.com. This one right now is childcarebusinessprofessionals.com/value of your voice. And you will find information of that course there. It just occurred to me that we need more voices speaking up for ECE. So if that's something that you're very passionate about as well, and you know that you're being called to speak up, join me for my course. I can't wait to see more of you inside. Also, please make sure you like, subscribe, and give me a good review. I really do appreciate it. And I appreciate all the time that you give me. Thank you so much, everybody. Have a wonderful week.
Thank you for joining Evelyn today. For more information, please visit childcarebusinessprofessionals.com.